Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham.
Wow, not very nice to bring me up here and just wreck me before I'm to speak, but maybe 3 weeks ago, the Lord said to me that there was going to be a release of a new measure of grace that would come upon me when I arrived here. And during worship, I was holding my hands and I just felt the weightiness of His presence. I mean, just so much of what Pastor Clive was just saying was just so resonating. And there's only one other place that I know of that I went to speak there, and a new release was given to me in that moment. And it's such a special place of the ancient wells being released in the body of Christ. And I believe that to be the case here.
Yes.
I believe you have deep wells
yes.
of great treasure
yes.
that many have labored for.
Yes.
That is now being made available in this hour of the church.
Thank you, Lord.
And I believe that that is part of why the Lord has purposed that today there would be something transacted even within me
yeah.
to be here. And I do not take that lightly. And it is such a privilege to be back with you all. And there is a deep, deep love that God has put in our hearts toward Pastors Clive and Jane, and so thankful for the mantle that they carry and what they release. That apostolic grace just strikes me, stirs me up, makes me want to shout. Makes me want to shout with an English accent sometimes. But yeah, just so thankful for what the Lord is doing in this hour of the church. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 27. I felt that my assignment today is just to walk through three verses of Scripture, pointing to others, but the core of what we're going to talk about is through these three verses of Scripture. I feel I'm to go ahead and just put the enemy on notice.
That's right. Yeah.
To say, in this room and online right now, we're stepping into these moments of defeating shame and self-disqualification.
Amen. Amen.
There are those that have been living under the burden of guilt, which is a burden God never intended for you to carry. And we're serving notice on that today
Amen.
To break that in
Amen.
Jesus' mighty name. So we start in Isaiah 27, verse 1. In that day, the Lord will punish with His fierce, great, and powerful sword. Now, this is important that we understand the sword of the Lord for what we're going to look at today. How many of you know Jesus is a mighty warrior
yes. yeah.
who carries a sword?
That's right.
He's a loving Savior and a mighty warrior. And we have to understand all those pieces and components to really walk in the fullness of what He's called us to. In that day, the Lord will punish with His fierce, great, and powerful sword, Leviathan, the coiling serpent. He will slay the monster of the sea. So this is a picture of a sea serpent or perhaps a dragon that resists God. You do realize in all of our lives, one thing always leads to another. This law of sowing and reaping, this is actually a kingdom principle that's designed by God to be a blessing in your life. But it also can be manipulated and hijacked by the enemy to produce demise in our lives. One thing leads to another. I think it's interesting that what begins as a serpent in the garden has become a dragon by the book of Revelation. There's a progression going on in the world. And there's a progression going on in our hearts. And there's a progression going on in our minds. And I'm just declaring in Jesus' mighty name that as we begin to renew our mind to the Word of God, there begins to be a perpetual motion of the kingdom of God expanding something within us that has the power to transform the world around us as His anointing spills out and we've tapped into these ancient wells and these great treasures that He desires for us to walk in a continual awareness and connection to in the way we walk in this world. Verse 2. In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. We are the planting of the Lord. If you are the planting of the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Trees planted by streams of living waters. Psalms 1, Isaiah 61, that we are the planting of the Lord. We actually restore the ruins that have been long devastated. That's who we are. Psalms 84, as we pass through the valley of Baca, we turn that place of weeping and bitterness into a place of springs and rejoicing. That's who we are. We carry this anointing not just to address the curse, but to reverse the curse into a blessing, Nehemiah 13. Sing about a fruitful vineyard. I love this, verse 3. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. We are the planting of the Lord, watered continually by the Lord Himself, that we might become a fruitful expression of His kingdom in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is unlocked and awakened through you and through me. Psalms 24 declares, lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory may come in. You are the gates. How many of you want God to open the gates so that heaven comes to earth? You are the gates. That's why we lift our hands. That's why we open our mouth. That's why we pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, the gates of heaven will open and heaven will invade and flood the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Go down to verse 6. In days to come, Jacob will take root, Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. Now, Jacob is Israel, right?
Yes.
Jacob wrestled with God, and then God said, now you are going to be called Israel. This is a picture of transformation that takes place in all of our lives. Jacob means deceiver. How many of you were a mess before you met Jesus? Can I just see? How many of you are still a little bit of a mess? Well, all of us are a work in progress, but how many of you are so glad? I may not be who I'm supposed to be fully yet, but I am not who I used to be, and I thank God for that. This picture of Jacob taking root in the dirt and Israel bearing fruit in the heavens and the skies above is you and I coming to know Christ in the earth, now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
This is a picture of our salvation progression, and that's very important for us to understand. Because if Jacob is Israel, why didn't this just say, Israel will take root, bud, and blossom, and fill all the world with fruit? Because Jacob the deceiver in the dirt is actually part of the story of fruitfulness that God calls us to in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Unless the seed falls into the dirt and dies, it doesn't produce any life. But if it dies, it produces great fruit.
Yes.
Have you heard this before? So the dirt is an important part of the process of our lives where we actually take the deceptive nature of our flesh, come to know Christ, we then die to ourselves and come alive to Him, and the kingdom of God then begins to cause flourishing within us and around us. Everywhere we go, we bring God's presence to real life into the lives of those around us.
Yep.
Yeah. Anybody here ever made mistakes?
Yes.
Anybody here have an embarrassing family member? Raise your hand if you have an embarrassing family member. Just look around. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you are the embarrassing family member. (Clears throat) I come from a pretty dysfunctional family. I'm a first generation believer in the sense of really being serious about the Lord. My dad had 100 jobs the first 20 years of my life because we were running from the law, bill collectors, and all kinds of situations. I got strung out on drugs in my late teens. I overdosed twice on drugs. I used to actually be a heavy metal lead guitarist in the 80s bands. I know you can't tell now, but I had a two-tone mullet. I was in hair bands. I was a mess. And yet, the Messiah reaches into the mess and turns the mess into the message. And suddenly people look at where you've been, if you'll stop hiding it. And they'll say, well, maybe if God can do that for you, there's hope for me. The problem is we hide the stuff that God's actually been working on, and then everybody gets confused because nobody understands that none of us are actually perfect. Yeah. Yes, that's true. Jesus comes from a really messed up family. This is like not just a full-on sermon I'm going to give you in just about 3-4 minutes here. This is a series of sermons that could go into this, and I just felt I was to point to it today. I've dug on this a lot and taught on this a lot at our place in Oklahoma. There's a picture, if we can put that up on the screen. I want us to look at Jesus' family lineage. This is wild. There are the 12 tribes of Israel listed there. Now, Jacob, the deceiver, he loved, what was her name? Rachel. And he wanted to marry Rachel, but he didn't get to marry Rachel first because Rachel's father was also deceptive and gave him his older daughter, Leah, who apparently, according to Scripture, wasn't lovely and he didn't love her. Yeah. He loved Rachel, not Leah. So Leah is the first wife, and then Rachel is given as well. So now you have Jacob with two wives, one he loves and one he does not love. How do you think Leah felt? This is very upsetting to think about, okay? This is Jesus' family lineage. This is where Jesus came from. Now, if you look at this, it's pretty amazing because Leah had the first child, and his name is Reuben. And the reason she named him Reuben, according to the Bible, is she was so miserable because she was so unloved by her husband that she cried out to God. She then was able to give birth, and she said, Reuben means he has seen my misery. God has seen my misery. Therefore, I will name this child Reuben. Every time I call his name, I'm reminded of how miserable I am because I'm the unloved wife. Wow. I mean, this is insanity. And then she has Simeon. She says, God has heard my cry. I'm going to name this one Simeon. It means one who hears. Then she had Levi, and she said, finally, my husband will be attached to me because the score is 3, Leah, and 0, Rachel. I'm winning the race. And then she had a fourth named Judah, and she said, now I'm going to praise the Lord. After 4 children, I'm going to praise the Lord. And all of this is just based on this contention that existed between these two women in this particular family. Well, Rachel just wasn't going to be outdone, and she decided she was going to introduce her maid into the mix. You remember this story. And that maid's name was Bilhah, and Bilhah then becomes pregnant. And so Rachel steps in and she says, well, the Lord has vindicated me. I'm going to name this one Dan, which means the Lord vindicates. I mean, this is crazy. The whole family is ultimately dysfunctional. How many of you are feeling better about your family right now? Bilhah gets pregnant again, and she says, I've struggled with my sister, and now I have won. I'll name this one Naphtali, which means I've struggled and won. Well, Leah says, I'm not going to be outdone, and I'm going to introduce my maid into the mix. I mean, this is just wild. Just take the time when you're reading something like this and think it through. There's so much contention, not just in the family of the adults, but think about the kids. Because in a moment, we're going to get to Joseph. And Joseph was highly favored and hated by all of his brothers and siblings. I wonder why. All this contention that existed, it's outrageous. So Leah introduces Zilpah. Zilpah then has a child, and she says, I'm going to name this one Gad, because now my maid is having children as well. What good fortune God has given me. She goes on and has another child, and she's let's see, I lost my place. Zilpha. Oh, the next child is Asher. And Leah says, we're going to name this one Asher because Asher means happy. And I am so happy now that the score is back even with the maids and I'm still ahead of my sister. And then Leah gets pregnant again. She says, I'll name this one Issachar because the Lord has rewarded me. And then Leah gets pregnant again. She says, I'll name this one Zebulun. And how honored I am. Rachel finally gets pregnant. And here comes Joseph, the favored child from the beautiful wife that Jacob loved in the first place. No wonder Joseph was so hated. And Joseph, she says, I'm going to name him Joseph because the Lord has added to my life. That's what Joseph means. He has added to my life. And then Rachel gets pregnant again. You know the story. She's about to give birth to this child. And in the midst of her misery, she's about to die in childbirth. And she names the child and says, this child will be known as Benoni, the son of my misery. But the father, Jacob, steps in and says, no, he'll not be known as Benoni, the son of your misery. He'll be known as Benjamin, the son of my right hand.
Yeah.
This is a mess.
Yeah.
You are in this mess. I just described to you the progression of salvation. He has seen my misery. I don't know about you, but I was wretched. And when I cried out to God, I was desperate. He has seen my misery, Reuben. He heard my cry, Simeon. I became attached to God, Levi. I began to praise the Lord, Judah. The Lord vindicated me, Dan. I began to understand the struggle was a part of gaining strength, Naphtali. What good fortune came as I grew stronger and more mature in the Lord, Gad. I became happy and understood happiness, Asher. There began to be reward from the Lord as I walked with him, Issachar. God then began to honor my life, Zebulun. He added to my life, Joseph. And all of this came because I was in Christ who hung on the cross and everyone said, look at the son of misery. And the father in heaven said, no, he will come up out of that misery and be seated at my right hand. And you are in Christ at the right hand of the Father. Come on, give him praise. Would you join me right now? He has changed everything about our lives. He is worthy of our praise. This is the God we serve. And Jacob in the dirt is part of the story.
Amen.
Don't let your previous identity take control of your destiny. Your history cannot control your destiny when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin to walk with Him. I was speaking at an event and I got up, this was a larger event. The pastor that was leading it was a very aggressive guy, kind of a scary guy, actually. And he did a lot of inner city work, and he would like go into gang fights and break them up and lead people to Jesus, and pretty wild. But I got up, and when I began to speak, I just announced, as I get started today, I just want to tell you of a conversation that I had with someone in the room. And the conversation went like this. Lawrence Neeson, who do you think you are to have the opportunity to stand up there on that stage and talk to anybody when I think about your past? And this aggressive pastor grew very angry. He's looking around. He's ready to lay hands on somebody. Until I announced that the conversation I had had was with myself. Anybody ever have that conversation? Who do you think you are? Don't let your history rob you of your destiny. You're who He says you are in Christ. God wants to take us into greater places of tremendous advancement. We are the planting of the Lord in the dirt.
Amen.
Continually watered by God, restoring us to display His splendor as we bring restoration to ruins that have long been devastated.
Yeah.
And this brings us back to verse 1, where we see the Lord defeating His enemies with a fierce, great, and powerful sword. Make no mistake about it. We were enemies to the cross of Jesus Christ. We were enemies to the kingdom of God before we surrendered. That's what happens. Salvation is surrender. I'm no longer an enemy. Now I'm willing just to come be a servant. And the Lord says, you're not going to be servants. You're going to be sons and daughters. I'm going to redeem you out of enmity. I'm going to redeem you and make you family.
Amen.
It's beautiful reality. He's a ferocious warrior wielding a great and powerful sword. And I want to make sure you hear me correctly. God is for you.
Amen.
He is for you.
Oh, yes.
You are fully loved by God. Aren't you thankful? Like fully loved. You're fully known by God. Isn't that scary? Like you're fully known. You're fully loved. He knows everything about you. He who knows you the best loves you the most. Ah, Lord, I just sense the grace of God resting upon us right now as we come to a greater revelation of your love. So we just receive that now in the mighty name of Jesus. God is for you. You need to know that before I say this next statement. God is for you. But this mighty warrior's great and mighty sword has the tip of the sword aimed directly at your heart. This helps us start to understand more the fear of the Lord. He is for you, but the tip of his sword is aimed directly at your heart. Jacob must die for Israel to live. I cooperate with the sword of the Lord piercing my heart as I spend sacrificial time in the Word, as I bring my arguing self to the alarm clock that I set early, and I'm fussing about having to wake up, but I do so sacrificially, as Jesus surrendered sacrificially as an example for us to follow, in prayer, in reading the Scripture, in praying the Scripture, in taking time and lingering in the presence of the Lord when I could be doing other things that I feel like I need to do, but I die to myself and that sword is thrust into my heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. It begins to be this amazing picture when you start to evaluate all of Scripture through this perspective. Somebody mentioned earlier, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4, it's beautiful. Isaiah 49:2 says, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword.
That's it.
I take his word and make the declaration out of my mouth. When I allow his sword to go through my heart, then his sword can come out of my mouth.
Yes.
And a declaration of his kingdom begins to be released. And the power of our prayers, it's more than just rhetoric and therapy and declaration, but I'm actually shifting the atmosphere. I'm walking in an authority where I am walking and what I am doing is impacting the atmosphere. People don't even understand it. They just start to get more tenderhearted because they're being exposed to the presence of God Almighty who created the universe, who was and is and forever will be. You and I are carriers of this presence in such a way that our world will be transformed and they will not even understand why. Smith Wigglesworth stepping onto the streetcar, not saying a word, and everyone on the streetcar begins weeping and sobbing in the presence of God, and they don't even know why. He then begins to explain, Jesus is among us, and they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the type of authority and power and presence you and I are called to walk in. But we cannot walk in that kind of authority, power, and presence if we are not willing to walk in humility first.
That's right. Come on.
The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. He's made my mouth like a sharp sword. I'm ready. I'm ready to be powerful. Not until you're willing to be vulnerable.
That's right.
It's the humility of the sword of the Word of the Lord piercing my heart, awakening the nature of Christ within me. It's beautiful to have the name of Jesus on our lips. It's powerful to have the nature of Christ in our hearts.
Yeah.
In his death, we find life. In our death, we find life. Jacob, the deceiver, takes root below. Dirty, deceptive Jacob bears fruit above. In the surrender of our humanity, we then are awakened to deity. And that's when the power of God begins to flow. Every major revival, it's just amazing when you study this out. Azusa Street, there was a declaration of how all of that broke out just in the turn of the century in 1900, just right there in the beginning of the 1900s. And the discussion and explanation of how it shifted and was so powerful and then mildly began to wane. Some of the discussion from those that were experiencing, they've written and they said, we had to stay low. We had to stay humble. We had to stay available. If at any point in time we began to stand up to allow attention to come to us, it would be the loss of the presence of God as we stayed low and as we stayed humble. Many times I think we as Christians are saying, God, bring revival, God, bring revival, God, bring revival. And it's a great prayer to pray, but God is saying, you're not ready for what I want to do, because humility and vulnerability has to precede the release of the power of God's kingdom, or it'll destroy
that's
you.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen. So, in our death, we find life. Amen?
Yes.
So, if guilt and shame has been upon you, I want to address it right now. The tip of the sword of the Lord is pointed straight at your heart. Will you allow Him to penetrate your heart so the sword of the Lord can begin to come out of your mouth? Stop rehearsing your mistakes to the Lord. Stop. Let it go. The blood of Jesus is enough. So stop living in the past.
Amen.
And if that needs to be broken off of you, just stand to your feet. Like, I'm not going to do a big, you know, special 1, 2, 3. Just like, go ahead, respond to the Lord and respond to the sword that's piercing hearts right now. We're breaking this self-disqualification. We are breaking anything in our history that's warring against our destiny. In the name of Jesus. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. If He's asking you to stand, just join the others. We just surrender our hearts. We trust You, Lord. The mightiest warrior who's ever lived in the history of eternity. We welcome the point of Your sword directly to our hearts, that we might die to ourselves and learn to live in Christ. We die to our right to rehearse our mistakes. You have separated our sin as far as the east is from the west. If you go north, it's only a matter of time until you turn south. But if you go east, you never go west. It's eternally separated. Your sin is eternally separated from you. Decisions you made, circumstances that happened, Lord, we just surrender to You and we say, have Your way. Have Your way. Awaken us to the deeper reality of eternity and the way we learn to live our lives, that we would devote ourselves to a deeper pursuit in the Word and prayer and fasting and gathering and coming together. I know there's Wednesday prayer that's taking place as a congregation. It's a great place to practice dying. It's not convenient. That's exactly the point. Gathering like this sometimes isn't convenient, but we die to ourselves. We just take those opportunities to surrender to Christ. And His life then begins to be awakened within us even more, in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.
If we could all just stand together now. Just surrender our hearts, would you? The point of his sword, I just welcome. That we may know him in the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, where we find life. We give you thanks, Lord. I thank you for this beautiful, wonderful family of God. The treasure of this place where many years of sowing faithfully has opened a phenomenal well of ancient treasure that just waits to invade our generation. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Just before I conclude, forgot your name, wife of John.
Michelle.
Did I get it right? Yeah. So when you came up and you began to speak, I began to see there's this, number one, a remarkable blend that exists within you. I just discerned within you as you were speaking, a remarkable blend of grace and truth. You can be very gracious without being, and remain unbending, and can help people see things that they wouldn't normally see, or because of your gracious disposition, they're able to kind of digest it. So I saw that, but I also saw there's a multiplicity of giftedness that exists within you, and you tap into these different gifts, and in that place of gift, it releases an impartation and an awakening within the church, and it was really remarkable as I saw it, because it's what I have seen in Clive himself, just this apostolic grace that just, when I get around this guy, things in me start getting awakened even more so. And I think there's just something of that's a part of what your assignment is as a church. You're to carry this activating sense of the presence of God. And when people get around you, they just start to get activated to a greater awareness of the loving, patient, reverent nature that God awakens within humanity whenever we're exposed into deity. It's beautiful. It's Lloyd. Lloyd, do I remember correctly last year when I was here, you told me your story. You actually sat in the car when you first started coming to this church?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The Lord was bringing that back to me. I was like, I go to different places, and so it was remarkable that I was remembering the story. I just felt like the Lord was just pointing it out. But you're one who prophetically, the Lord positioned you to understand there are those that are sitting on the outside that are really resistant to coming inside, but you're going to be instrumental and key, major anointing of evangelism that exists upon you. I just release that over you now, Lloyd, in Jesus' mighty name. I believe the Lord has a prophetic word for every person in this room. And all we have to do is get into a place of prayer because we're hungry and listen to what he has to say. Yes. So, Lord, would you give us ears to hear, hearts to pursue, and a willingness to surrender and die that we might explore and discover the true life of this risen King that actually exists within us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.